morning. Praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. We want to welcome you to Manifest Church live stream. We're glad that you are watching and listening through the podcast or on YouTube, Facebook, or Rumble. We welcome you, and we pray that this message today will encourage you as we continue in the book of Daniel chapter 7. And so I just want to thank you for joining us. Thank you for those who are here. And so I just want to also remind you, if you're watching in any of these platforms, make sure to hit the follow or subscribe button so that you can help continue to strengthen and share this message with your friends and family, that they may also be edified and encouraged. And our hope is that through those platforms that the message can get out and that it will sow the seeds of the Word of God in hearts, and pray for a great harvest to come in. So, and also feel free to leave us a comment on how God has ministered to you today through this message. If you need a prayer, you can just put on there. You just need prayer requests or anything like that. You can go to our Facebook page, private message in there in the messenger, and you can just let us know if you need prayer. We'd be glad to pray for you. So anyway, let's begin as we get ready to start with prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time that we have together to come as a body of Christ to worship and magnify you, Lord. As we were singing today, that you are holy forever. The angels cry, all creation cries that you are holy. And Lord, I pray that you would be exalted through what is said today, that your name will be exalted. Lord, you said if you would be lifted up, you would draw men unto yourself. And as we look at the prophecy of Daniel concerning the end times, that you are very much a part, Lord. You are the one that's going to bring it all into a final conclusion, an end game. And so, Lord, we thank you for that promise that we have. And Lord, I pray that those who are watching, listening today here in this room, those who will watch later or listen, God, that you would speak to their hearts, that the Holy Spirit will captivate their minds and hearts, Lord, and that there will be conviction, there will be a transformation that takes place, Lord, as we look into the future, as we look into what is ahead of us, Lord. And I pray that you would speak through me, Lord. I don't have the wisdom or there's nothing I have to that without you that could be of any use to them, Lord. And I pray that you would empower me now to preach your word fearlessly as I should, and that your words would not fall on deaf ears, but it will go out and do what it was set out to do, Lord. We love you, and we ask these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So today we continue again, as I was saying, in the book of Daniel. And we're going to be in chapter 7. We're going to be looking, we're going to read today verses 13 through 28. And those are a lot of verses. I'm not going to get through all of them, but this is the main text. I want you to see where we are, because we finished the prior verses last week. Today's message is entitled Daniel's Vision Interpreted. As we read in Daniel, we're going to see the interpretation of the vision / dream that Daniel was given. Daniel was given this dream. Remember in Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon was given a dream by God. And so Daniel was also given a dream. And Daniel, we have seen this dream play out as we've been reading in chapter 7. And the Bible tells us that Daniel's dream had been, in my own words, crazy and awesome at the same time. So much so that Daniel's spirit within him was anxious and alarmed at what he saw. You know, the anxiety of like, when is this going to happen? When is it going to happen? The alarming part of seeing God, of what these empires are going to do. Because remember, Daniel was in the time of Babylon and the Medo-Persian Empire. And he's being told the future of the coming empires. And he's seeing what is to take place. And that final one is really on his heart, because it's a ferocious animal. And if you remember anything, if we've been talking, Daniel, when he described the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had was of a beautiful image of a man, strong and of precious metal, right? This is what King Nebuchadnezzar saw, and it's always man's perspective of what he sees, how man away from God tries to rule and govern. But yet God gives Daniel a vision and a dream of these same empires, but God shows him that these are ferocious beasts, terrible, killing everything they get their hands on. And that's how God sees man's attempt to create his own utopia away from God to govern itself. And humanity has been trying to do this for a while. It started with the Tower of Babel, and God separated them because he wasn't going to have that either. And so because they in direct violation to God's word of procreation, we see that today. We you can hear of people like Yuvaldo Harari. You can hear a person like that speaking terms as if people are just waste and they can be destroyed, that we need to do just weird things that these people say in the open. I know most of us don't hear this stuff because they're speaking these things out in Europe where they are at, where they are. Sometimes they'll be in our area, but it's not very popularized, because can you imagine if the news would actually give you the news and tell you not what it wanted you to know, only wanted you to hear and see, but tell you the whole thing, let you see and make a decision for yourself. If they would show you the words coming, the pompous words that are coming from these people with influence and power in the world, the people would not tolerate it. We would be like totally rejecting this stuff, but it's not the case. And as a result, his mindset is, hey, you know how we control the poor? That's us, those who they don't deem as important, that are just to be, we're basically trash in their eyes. You know what they say to us? They say, we'll just keep them entertained and playing their games, and then that'll keep them occupied, and we'll continue to build our world, and eventually we're gonna get rid of them. And that is it is totally demonic. It is the way that Satan is working right now, through not just him but many others within the elites of the world. And so Daniel has a glimpse of all this stuff, and it's incredible. And I'm going to use also the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to look at that book, and because, you know, Daniel gets a glimpse, and it's not very detailed, but in the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, we have a little bit more detail to what Daniel was seeing as well. And both of them complement each other and help each other and help us to see what God is going to do. And so, again, Daniel, he's going through all this. You know, I think it's important we understand end times. It gives us hope. When you understand end times, eschatology, end times, the study of end times, it gives you hope as we endure the hardships of this life and the persecutions that come from following our Lord. You know, there are things that people go through. What are those hardships, man? We experience death. How many of us have been touched in our family, our friends that we love, the people, our dear loved ones who have passed on? Death is a hardship that we have to endure on this side of eternity. And we go through that, and those who follow Christ, they experience persecution when we stand for righteousness and we don't give in to the spirit of this age. We may lose promotions at our jobs for us who are in the West. We may not be put in prominent places. We may be taken away unless God intervenes and makes sure that that's what he wants and it's going to happen. We'll be where we're supposed to be. But there are things that happen as a result of being a follower of Jesus Christ and not being ashamed of him nor his words. And sometimes these things are very hard, and we deal with these persecutions, we deal with these things. But God revealed, when we look at the book of Revelation, God revealed the revelation of Jesus Christ at a point in history that Christians were under extreme persecution. They were under extreme persecution by the Roman Empire. The Caesars were just ferocious beasts, as Daniel describes in his dream what he saw. Caesars would they would kill Christians, put them on hang them from the streets and light them up as fire as candlelight for the city. I mean, they would have them in the arenas to be eaten by lions. I mean, this, the things that they did to Christians, it's just extreme and very difficult. And God had given John, of all places, he was in the Isle of Patmos, an island away from everybody. And God gives the Apostle John the revelation of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom, so that this can get out to the churches and the letter can be given to the churches to encourage them to persevere under the persecution, and under that one day God is going to make all the wrongs right. One day God is going to restore justice and righteousness to this world, and he's going to rule and reign forevermore, and we will have a kingdom that will never end. Amen. And so God did this. God has revealed to John the end game to encourage and infuse hope and endurance in the body of Christ. When we look at end times, it ought to encourage you. It ought to infuse hope into your life, and it ought to give you endurance as you face the things that you face in this world. As we look at the Word of God, God's Word is given for us to be encouraged and edified even as we go through this life. God had revealed the end game. And so now, as we see this, God has, as here God was revealing the end result to Daniel, who was several hundred years earlier than the Apostle John. We know this. I mean, this is a long time ago, and John's over here talking about what details of what the end time will be. You have two different men speaking at different points of history, coming to the same conclusion, coming to just an awesome moment that you can see the powerful Word of God, how God can speak and He guides men, as the Bible says, through the Holy Spirit to inspire them to write the things that they wrote. And they were, 66 books with several authors, all pointing to the same thing. That is an awesome thing. That's a miracle. And that's the spirituality of this Bible that we hold in our hand. It's not just letters on a page. It's a spiritual book. And anyway, so that was just my little intro, and I want to move on here. But let's take a moment here and read Daniel's interpretation. We're going to start in verse 13 because that is where we left off last week. And we'll get to 13, but this is where it's encouraging here. Again, it says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. And I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. Then I desired to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, and which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. And about the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up, and before which three of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things, and that seemed greater than its companions. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High, and the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, as for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms, and it shall devour the whole earth, and trample it down, and break it to pieces. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones, and shall put down 3 kings. He shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the law. And they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. But the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away to be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, and my color changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. Man, what a moment. What a interpretation of a dream. I know it was a lot there, but if you just hang in there with me. You're going to see what's happening here. What a moment that God begins to reveal to Daniel what he was seeing in his vision and dream. God tells Daniel there are four beasts in the dream representing the four kings who shall arise from the earth. Remember that? He talked about that. We know this to be true because Daniel kind of knew this already, but Daniel interpreted the king of Babylon's dream, King Nebuchadnezzar, if you remember, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 36 through 45, God had revealed to Daniel the four empires that will come. We covered these empires just as a reminder. The first one, remember, the head of gold was the Babylonian Empire. Then the next one was the Medo-Persian Empire. Then the next one was the Greek Empire. You know, Alexander the Great was a part of that. And the Roman Empire was the final kingdom. But if you remember in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, we noticed that that final kingdom had another piece of it, which we call and is known as the revived Roman Empire, that is partly strong and partly brittle, because it was you remember the feet was of partly of iron and partly of clay. And so you remember that. So we know this to be true. We know that Rome was the final empire, yet Rome is, you know, the Roman Empire in so many respects is still existing, even though it's broken in pieces. And we see some of its influence in our societies today all over the world. It is still much a relevant thing, though not in the forefront. You do not see it like in the times. It's more in the background. Because there's this moving into these 10 kings, which we also believe may, as we see, may have to do with where these kings will have 10 regions. And we know that several years ago, the UN, the United Nations, they had a map of the world of 10 regions. And it could be those 10 rulers rule the 10 regions. That could be something that is very possible that could be taking place. But Daniel really wanted to know about the fourth beast that was different from all the rest, right? He's like, okay, I know about these, but this one, this last one, I got to understand this one better. And the reason it was terrifying with its teeth of iron, its claws of bronze, and which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left of its with its feet. I mean, can you imagine the sight that Daniel saw of this beast? Just ferocious and destructive and just tearing everything to pieces and then just stomping the rest of whatever was left with his feet. I mean, this was not this was an alarming and terrifying part of his dream. And he also had 10 horns on its head. You know, not only was it ferocious in that sense, but it also had another aspect to it, which, again, this is why many theologians see this as the revived Roman Empire, that it there's another part to this empire that is no longer the first one, but the other part comes into these 10 horns on its head and another horn that had eyes like a man and a mouth that spoke great things and seemed greater than the companions. This horn makes war with the saints and prevailed over them. So can you imagine him seeing not only that it takes the earth, but then those who belong to God, the Jewish people, those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in the time of the tribulation, this little horn begins to make war against God's people. And he is viciously attacking his people. This is one of the things that we see. But what's awesome too is that even though this is going on, the horn's reign will be short-lived because God is going to execute judgment on the horn for the saints. God will give the saints a kingdom forever. And it's like, wow, all of this is going on. And again, Daniel, he's seeing the crazy things and it's probably his heart's broken about what he sees is going to happen. But God reminds him that it is short-lived because the wicked do not prosper. Their lamp will be snuffed out. Sometimes as Christians, you may see people that are wicked. You think they're getting away with things and they're doing all kinds of evil and nothing seems to happen. And yet we seem to be those who are doing good, seem to be persecuted and imprisoned and demoted and other opportunities given to people who are not living for the Lord. And we see all kinds of evil taking place in the world. We see the sex trafficking that's taking place of children. We see all kinds of evil, the abortion, the shedding of innocent blood. We see the wars and all the things that are going on in this world. And God reminds Daniel in the dream and in the interpretation that it's going to be short-lived, because one day he's going to execute his judgment on the horn for the saints. He's going to do what he promised, and he will give us a kingdom that will be forever. And it's going to be an awesome kingdom, because the king is Jesus. Hallelujah. King Jesus. The second point I want to talk a little bit about today, I'm going to do a little bit on it, but I think we're going to continue here. I want to talk about the little horn. I want to talk about the 10 horns and the little horn, I want us to look at this to see who they are. You know, what are we seeing here? What is Daniel seeing, and what interpretation is given to Daniel about the 10 horns and the little horn? And if we go here, he goes and says to them, in verse 23, it says of Daniel chapter 7, I want you to see this. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 23, and I think we're going to go on through verse 25. It says here, thus he said, as for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms, and it shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it to pieces. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones, and shall put down three kings. Verse 25, he shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, times and a half a time. So we see Daniel is given the interpretation about these horns. So again, the horns, the 10 horns represent 10 kings. Well, remember, as I've been saying to you, Daniel, is his vocabulary is from the times he lived in. We today do not see kings in our world anymore. We call them rulers, or we call them elites, or we call them presidents. We call them world leaders today. We don't call them kings anymore. And so this is kind of what I want you to begin to get your broaden your mind from the word king a little bit, because again, he is speaking about what he in his time, what's an authority in the sense of their theocracies and kings and kings. That's it. So that's what he sees as authority. Hey, that's a king. That's what I'm seeing in this vision. But for us, as we are seeing it for where we are in the times that we live in, what Daniel was saying, we can show, well, what Daniel is right, because he's speaking about authorities, but our terminology, no longer we use the term kings. That's old. Now we have presidents. We have parliamentary leaders. We have all kinds of things that represent rulers in the world. And so this is what goes on. So these 10 kings who will arise from the revived Roman Empire, they're going to come from the revived Roman Empire. Remember, the Roman Empire was global. I mean, it had many nations under its control. And this helps us to see that they're of the Gentile nations. This is not Jewish people. This is of the Gentile nations from where these horns come from. The little horn, Antichrist, rises from them and puts down three kings / rulers. He takes three of them out and takes their power and authority. I want you to go with me to Revelation chapter 17. I want you to see a little bit about this transaction that's taking place that Daniel sees concerning the 10 horns and the three kings rulers who give their authority to the little horn. And I want you to see in verse 12 through 13 what John sees and the interpretation given to John about the 10 horns. And the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received royal power. But they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. These are of one mind, and they hand over their power and authority to the beast. So the beast here, I want you to understand, is synonymous with little horn. In Daniel's dream, the little horn is representative of the beast of Revelation, who we call, or in better terms for you to understand, who we call, the church has called over the years, the Antichrist. So you're more familiar with those words because, you know, beast sometimes. But and this is why we understand it. John actually gave us the term Antichrist in his epistles. First John, he talks about this, the first time we see the word Antichrist used. And so this is why over history of the church, when they're describing the beast in Revelation or the little horn in Daniel's vision, they are describing the Antichrist. This is who is speaking of. And so here, what's powerful about these 10 horns, again, are represent 10 kings who are going to receive some power and authority. You understand that God is in control of everything. Because we're human and we don't understand God's infinite wisdom, we can't understand why this stuff is going on. But God gives these people and allows them to have this authority in order to usher in his judgment that he's going to bring. And sometimes we fight this and like, why do the wicked seem like they're prospering, but they're not? There's coming a day when God is going to bring it all to a close. The end game, there's an end result to what is going to happen. And so anyway, we see here that they're going to receive power together with the beast. And as we see in Daniel, out of the 10 rulers, 3 of them are going to be brought down, and the little horn or the beast or the Antichrist, he's going to take those 3's position. And then later, all together, they're going to have this power. And then as we see here, later, they're going to turn their power over to the beast. But I want you to notice something about these 10 kings, that they're going to have the same mind. Their mind is going to be one. Think about our world today. Think about everything going on in the world today. Everything is about oneness. Everything is about global. Everything is about one world currency. Everything's about one world government. Everything's about oneness. And this is a very important thing for the church to identify and understand. When you hear our leaders speaking as if we're global citizens, as if we're one, and we should have one currency for the world, we should have one of everything, understand this is the very plan that is being put in place in order to bring about the judgment of God. And it's not that we're to sit here and go, well, God said, no, we're to occupy until it comes. We're to continue to resist until the Lord says, okay, it's time. I've given enough time for the people to repent and turn. It's time to take my church out of here, and the tribulation is going to begin. But until that time, as Christians, we don't just throw our hands up. Well, we continue to resist. We continue to expose the deeds of darkness so that people can see what is happening. That's why we have to declare these things. That's why we have to talk about what we see in our world. You notice all these leaders, they want us all to think the same thing. How many have you ever heard the word groupthink? They don't want you to think different than they do. They want us to be of one mind. And I want you to know, you might think, oh man, this is sci-fi stuff. I am telling you, just go and Google stuff for yourself. Go and look and find some things out. You're going to see that they are trying to implement things to mind control people, to put things in people's minds to be able to control their thought life, to be able to know what you're thinking. You know why? Because that little horn, that Antichrist, that beast, he wants to be God, but he knows he isn't. He doesn't know what's in your mind. Do you know that? Satan does not know what goes on in your mind. Only God knows what's in your heart and what's in your mind, what you're thinking before you even think it. Satan doesn't have that. He's a created being. So he wants to deceive you to think he's God, but he's going to use technology to be implanted. This is why, if you've never heard the term transhumanism, there's this desire to create people. The word I can use is like you're a cyborg. Half man, half machine, biologic and machinery working together. And, you know, we look at this and we're like, no way, right? Because that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to say, that'll never happen. I'm telling you, it's happening. You got to open your eyes. You got to get your head out the sand. You got to look and do some research. Don't focus on the mainstream media. They're not going to tell you anything. They want you entertained. They want you thinking about the wrong things in order to do this stuff behind the scenes. And I pray that this message will wake you up. So, again, these 10 kings, they have this power. These kings come, I believe they come from the UN or the WHO. They could come from there. I believe they could come from the United Nations because either the Gentile nations are obviously, we know that Israel is a part of it, but obviously Israel is not going to be a part of its own demise from the heart. It's just going to come from the Gentile nations, a part of the UN or the WHO. And I say the WHO is the World Health Organization, the World Health Organization. They can be used as well. We're seeing that there's some treaties. Even our president currently, I believe, has signed a treaty with them and all that. And we understand treaties give these entities who are not elected by the people of America to make decisions about how we govern our health in this country. And that is dangerous. They can use all kinds of ways to create a catastrophe in order to take power and control and create oneness. And also they have plans to depopulate the earth. Obviously these are, I'm not going to get into who those people are because they probably kick me out the channels, but you need to do your research. This is part of, see, Satan is about destroying and depopulating. God in Genesis 1 commanded man to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. You see, when we begin to abort our children, we begin to kill our offspring, we are actually walking in unison with Satan and his goal to destroy the image bearers of God. And we've got to say no to this stuff. We've got to be a part of the solution. Man, praise God that there was some Supreme Court justices who overturned Roe versus Wade, and hopefully all throughout the states of this country will get rid of abortion completely. Completely. That's our hope. See, when this happens, the rapture could occur, and it will be a global catastrophe. It will be a global catastrophic event, which could, in fact, elevate their authority rapidly. It could give these organizations that are all the nations have signed on to, could give them rapid authority and power in a moment. What is clear, even though these are some just my thoughts of what could be, again, I'm not God. I'm just saying some things that could bring to this. But what is clear that there will be 10 kings 10 kings rulers that will be part of the end times. As we are seeing now from the church, we're looking into the future and our present time. We're further along than Daniel was, amen. We're further along than John was. And so we have current events that are taking place and things that are leading into this 10 kings of the revived Roman Empire. And together, these kings are going to make war against the Lamb and against the Lamb who is representative of Jesus Christ, our Lord. They're going to make war against the saints. They're going to come against the Jewish people. They're going to bring havoc on the Jewish people. They're going to, any Christians that are saved during the time of tribulation, they're going to come and bring havoc on them. The little horn represents the Antichrist, as I've been saying. Look at with me at Revelation 13. Revelation 13. I'm gonna end here real soon. I'm almost done. Just hang with me. I'm almost done. Revelation 13, we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. Actually, 1 through... Yeah, let's just go. Ready? Revelation 13, And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, its feet like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his authority and great his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who can fight against him?" And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemy against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them, and authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation, and all who dwell on earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. Man, a lot there. But he will rise from the last empire, the Gentile nations, which we know as the revived Roman Empire. We've been mentioning this a lot. Of the 10 kings, the 3 of them will be taken down by the little horn. He will have their authority to start, and then the rest will hand over their power and authority to him. We know this. We just read this in Revelation 17, verse 13. It says, "These are of one mind, and they give their power and authority to the beast." I want to get into the revealing of the little horn slash beast or Antichrist. I want you to know that gives us great hope. That comes after the rapture. That's what we believe at Manifest Church. And the reason we have this is we look at, I want you to see with me in 2 Corinthians, we're almost there, at 2 Thessalonians. I apologize. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I want you to see this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 4. Look what it says. "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for the day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he makes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God." This is why we believe that the day of the Lord hasn't come, because the day of the Lord always refers to the tribulation in Scripture. You can find this in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 31, about the day of the Lord. You can find this in Isaiah 13, verses 9 through 13. What a terrible and dreadful day that will be, because this is when God's vengeance and wrath comes upon the earth because of the wicked and the haughty. Think about the blasphemous words this beast is going to speak against the Most High and against his people. God is going to take vengeance upon him and all who follow him. But this is why we don't believe that, because it says here, don't be deceived, for the day of the Lord will not come unless the rebellion comes. This means there's two parts to this. There's going to be a falling away of those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. And then the man of lawlessness, who this is referring to, the Antichrist, the beast, the little horn we've been talking about. This is another title that he has. He is known as the man of lawlessness. He also has another title. He's the son of destruction. So until he's revealed, the day of the Lord isn't going to come, because he's going to oppose everything that says that it's God. Every religion is going to be trash, because he's going to say, "I'm God, none of these things." And of course, he's going to really come after the Judeo-Christian God. He's going to really come after the real God, and he's going to be destroyed because of it. God is going to allow this up. So it's important to note that believers before the tribulation period will not be here for that time when the day of the Lord comes. And I want to finish with this scripture right here to encourage you concerning why we believe. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and according to 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, and 10, why I believe as believers now, before the tribulation, we will not be here to experience the great tribulation that's coming and the day of the Lord. We're not going to be here for that. I want you to see in 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, and 10, I want you to see what the Bible says. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Isn't that awesome that God is not appointed Christians, has not appointed those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for wrath, because he saved us through the Son. The wrath of God has been taken away through Jesus Christ. And you might be listening, you might be here, you might be watching and listening later, and you're hearing this message and fear has gripped your heart. I want you to know fear is okay, because it leads you to come to the conclusion that, hey, there's something might be wrong with you. Something may not be right between you and God. And that's a good thing. There's some conviction there. Maybe there's a cutting of the heart that maybe you realize, man, something that this message is hitting me at. And the Bible says if you would repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God will wash away your sins. His wrath will be removed from you, and you will be with him forever. And you will not experience the tribulation and the wrath that's going to come upon this earth on the wicked and Satan and his unholy trinity. God wants to save you from the wrath to come. And he's shown it. He sent his Son. The question is, will you be humble enough to receive Jesus, or will you continue in your pride and one day experience judgment that is coming? You can take it to the bank. What God says is going to happen. He is going to judge this world in righteousness. And the Bible says he proved it by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. And I want you to know that there's a day coming when all the receipts are going to be turned in. And those books are going to be open, as we talked about last week, where judgment begins. And God is going to bring out the one book, the book of life. And any name that's not written in that book will be cast into the lake of burning sulfur forever and ever, with the beast, with the dragon, and the false prophet. All three will be cast in there, and you will be forever and ever burning and suffering because you've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And God doesn't want that for anybody. That's why he sent his Son. That's why he's sending us to tell you, to share, and whatever platform we can, we pray that you'll receive the Lord Jesus today. And if you're a believer, I pray this message would have encouraged you and edified you and infused some hope into your life, cause you to say, man, my God is faithful, and he's going to give me the strength I need to endure what's ahead of me. And I know that he will. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we have a kingdom that's going to be given to us, that's going to be forever, an everlasting kingdom. And you are going to be the King of kings and Lord of lords. And God, what a day that's going to be. What an awesome day that's going to be. And I pray that as we continue on, Lord, we'll remember what you said, and we'll hold fast to you no matter what we face in this life, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for those who today have prayed to receive Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit, and that, God, that they would connect themselves to a Bible-believing church, to be with the saints weekly, to be encouraged and edified. And if they live in the area, I pray you would connect us, Lord, so that we can continue to minister to them and help them in their walk with you, Lord. We love you. And God's people said, amen. We'll see you next time. God bless you.